Today we turn our hearts to the Word of God. We need a word from heaven today. The Holy Spirit's ready to reveal to us and open to our understanding out of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, which says, "Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only the lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything we see, and pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father. They are from this evil world. And this world is fading away along with everything it craves. But if you do the will of God, you will live forever." Five times the word world appears in these three passages, twice referred to as this evil world. The New Living Translation from which we read describes the world as evil. And this is based on the definition of the word world, which means the present order of things as opposed to Christ's kingdom, being both physically and morally evil. Now, the world is evil because its fallen foundation consists of a system of values, a system of goals from which God is fully excluded. Now, I want you to follow this carefully. To be in love with the world is to be a worldly person, a person who struggles with worldliness. According to these passages, worldliness is characterized by three inward attitudes. First, the lust for physical pleasure. This is being preoccupied with gratifying the physical desires. Secondly, the lust for everything we see. The lust for everything we see. This is craving and accumulating things, bowing to the god of materialism. And thirdly, pride in our possessions. This is being obsessed with one's status, with one's importance. Now, amazingly, when Satan tempted Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, which we will look at a little bit later, when Satan tempted Eve, he tempted her in these three areas. Likewise, when the devil tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, while he was in the wilderness, these were his three areas of attack as well. Now, right in the very center of the three is the lust for everything that is seen. Those who are of this world, who struggle with worldliness, it says that they lust for everything that they see. Or it can be said this way, the lust for everything in the world upon which one focuses, upon which one focuses. Now, verse 17 reveals that this world is fading away. Think about this for a moment. The people who live in rebellion to God with their never-ending, unfulfilled desires are focusing on a world that is fading away, a world of obscurity, of ambiguity, a world unfocused. However, for the Christian who turns his eyes away from the world, remaining focused on the love of God and doing the will of God, it says he or she will live forever, Today, I want to continue ministering a word we began last Sunday, staying focused in an unfocused world. Staying focused in an unfocused world. Why is it so critical to stay focused? Does it really matter where we fix our eyes? Indeed, it does. Research estimates that 80 to 85% of our perception, our learning, our cognition, and our activities are mediated through vision. Mediated or conveyed through vision. That's why as believers, if we're not living focused, having no vision for our life, beware, the world will give us one. If we have no vision for our life, the world will give us one, and we don't want that, or at least we shouldn't want that, because the world is so messed up. Listen, that which has its origin in the world is askew. It's not properly aligned. Now, last week we learned a couple of lessons on how to stay focused in an unfocused world. And today, let's look at a couple of more. Number three, focus requires effort and discipline. Focus, to stay focused in an unfocused world, it requires effort and discipline. Did you know that it takes little to no effort? It takes little to no discipline to go the way of the world? Did you know that to live a casual, worldly, centered on satisfying our fleshly appetites kind of life, it's one of the easiest things that a person can do. To live a life in such an undisciplined manner presents no cause for celebration. Anybody can do it. It's so common. There's no cause for celebration of living that kind of life. A casual, worldly life that's centered on satisfying our fleshly appetites, there's no cause for celebration. Anybody can live that kind of life. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, "Enter God's kingdom through the narrow gate. The gate is large and the road is wide that leads to ruin. Many people go that way, but the gate is small and the road is narrow that leads to life. Only a few people find it." The word "find" there means to find out by searching, to put forth effort, to find out by inquiry. I love the Message version of this scripture says, "Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, the way to God is vigorous and it requires total attention." You see, church, a focused life requires a conscious decision of the heart as well as a mental one to do whatever is necessary to see that your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is ever growing and ever flourishing. I want to remind us today that the very first sin in the Bible, it began in the eye. It began in the eye. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, which we referred to earlier, when the woman saw that the tree produced fruit that was good for food, was attractive to the eye, and was desirable for making one wise, she took some of its fruit and she ate it. She also gave some of it to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Now I notice what Eve did here. She looked, she took, she ate, she gave. It all began with a look. She looked, she took, she ate, she gave. You see, the battle is often lost at the first look, at the first look. You see, very little effort was required to pick the fruit and to eat. But that one effortless and undisciplined act threw the entire world into an unfocused state ever since. Next, let's go to Joshua chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. After 3 days, the leaders went through the camp and commanded the people, When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, you must leave here and walk behind it, but stay about 3,000 feet behind it. Keep your distance so you can see which way you should go, for you have not traveled this way before. To stay focused in an unfocused world, here's our fourth lesson. Number four, focus on following the Holy Spirit daily. Focus on following the Holy Spirit daily. The Ark of the Covenant was Israel's most sacred treasure. It was a symbol of God's presence. It was a symbol of God's power. God revealed himself to his people at the Ark of the Covenant. Today, church, God chooses to reveal himself through the work of the Holy Spirit to each believer. Therefore, God's most sacred place is now in our hearts. It's in our minds. In this passages of Joshua, chapter 3, in this passage, verse 4 in particular, the people of Israel are commanded to keep a distance of 3,000 feet. That's about 900 meters between them and the Ark of the Covenant. The purpose was so that the people of Israel would always be able to see the Ark in all types of terrain that they were traveling through. That was the purpose for the distance between them and the Ark. This 900 meters of distance was that they would always be able to see the Ark in all types of terrain that they were traveling through. Today, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we who have received Christ as our Savior and our Lord are His chosen people. We are God's royal priesthood, and He has given us the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us into all truth, according to John chapter 16 and verse 13. Just as the Ark was Israel's most sacred and holy treasure, so must be the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We must have no casual or careless intimacy with Him. In our spiritual lives, when we fill the spaces with all kinds of conveniences and all kinds of worldly distractions, it becomes very difficult, sometimes even impossible, to see where the Holy Spirit is leading us. Oh, God was about to lead Israel over very unfamiliar ground and territory. They were going away that they had not taken before. Since it was new ground and new territory, without the Lord's guidance, without the Lord's leadership, the people would not know the direction to take. And so it is with us today. Today, everything has changed. We have never gone this way before that we are going presently. Let's focus, church. Let's focus on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let's get serious with God. Let's take our eyes off of this world that's so unfocused. Let's follow the Holy Spirit each and every day, for He will bring us through. He will bring us through if we will stay faithful, if we will stay committed, if we will stay surrendered, if we will listen to His voice, if we will move at His beckoning, if we will allow Him to have His perfect work on the inside of us. Come on, let's call out to the Lord right now in prayer. Let's focus our hearts for the next few moments. Lord, how we, Your church, must stay focused in this hour. Oh God, what an opportunity. What an opportunity is before us, as so much around us, oh God, is distorted. So much around us is skewed, oh God. Help us, therefore, to remember that indeed it does matter where we fix our eyes, oh God. May we put forth the effort to keep our eyes focused on the straight and the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Oh God, that our love for You, our Heavenly Father, would overrule, our love for You would overrule every worldly attitude, that we would stay focused on Your majesty, that we would stay focused on Your lordship. Oh, that we might make a decision, my God, to live a focused, disciplined life. Fill us afresh, we pray, with Your Holy Spirit today, oh God, for indeed we have not walk this way before. Set us free from casualness, oh God, laying aside all distractions in Jesus' name. May we fully yield to and follow the Holy Spirit in this hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you desire to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ and entering a relationship with Him, or if you would like to know more about Nairobi Lighthouse Church, please call today or text the number that is at the bottom of your screen. We would love to be able to speak with you and connect with you. God bless you.